Just a little question. I don't know if you watch social media much, but have you ever seen, sometimes there are these social media influencers, these kind of famous social media figures, and they make these videos where they go out into the streets and they give people presents, like free gifts. I don't know, like earpods or an iPhone or something. And then you get this, like, these kind of strange reactions from the people. Anyway, it's a trend. I think it's a trend. I'm getting old. I don't know. But they're going out and they're going doing this. And sometimes you get kind of like two main reactions. You get these people who don't know who the gift giver is. They don't know this social media person. They don't watch TikTok or YouTube or something. And they think, why are you giving me a present? What is that? Like, and they can be so shocked at first. They're like suspicious, you know, like, why is this man giving me an iPhone? I don't understand what's happening. And sometimes people just like reject it. Oh, nah, leave me alone, strange person. And they keep going. Other times people recognize the person. It's you. And you're doing the video where you give presents. Can I have something? It's like the opposite reaction because they know the person. They know that particular social media personality, influencer, that's what they do. They go out and they give presents. It's a funny kind of reality to reflect on, you know, how do we receive gifts? And it's really important because there's an old saying, it's easier to give than to receive. Now, I want to start by saying something a little bit controversial. Sometimes as Catholics, we can be bad recipients of gifts. We can be extraordinary gift givers. There are these unbelievable works of mercy and charity in the world from the Catholic Church. If you were to just name all the hospitals and institutions of care for the most underprivileged in society from the Catholic Church, would be outstanding. You'd be, what's the word, shocked. I can't even say it. It's unbelievable to think of what we're giving as people following Christ. But when we stand before this gift that's coming in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and when we think, what am I going to receive? It's harder to storm the heavens and pray for gifts from God, isn't it? See, at Pentecost and the Ascension, they're actually linked. Jesus goes up, he goes up to heaven, he ascends, he goes to the Father, and then the Holy Spirit comes down. Pentecost and the Ascension, which is what we're celebrating today, the Ascension of our Lord, they're linked. As Jesus goes up to heaven, heaven comes down in a sense in the Holy Spirit. It breaks forth into our reality, pouring out supernatural gifts upon us. The type of gifts that when we read in the gospel, just then I read all those gifts, you know, these will be the signs that be associated with believers. We can often think, oh, really? To me? That type of power? That type of working of the Lord, those signs that are in the Acts of the Apostles from the first believers. The Holy Spirit intends to break into our reality in a tangible and real way. And he wants to profoundly influence our life by his gifts, by his power. There's this wonderful, sculpture or art piece of art in St. Peter's in the Vatican. And it's this wonderful image of the dove, dove of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, bursting forth into our reality. You see the rays of heavenly light come forth, emanate from the dove, and you see the angels and then flowing on into the saints. And then there's this image right down the bottom of a chair. That's the cathedra, the throne of St. Peter. And it's being connected to the fathers of the church, doctors of the faith, and it's this great image of the Holy Spirit breaking forth into our reality, coming from heaven and bursting forth. It's rays from heaven into our church, into our lives, and the saints and the angels gripping up, reaching up to heaven. It's this beautiful image of what the Holy Spirit intends to do at Pentecost and indeed what he's done. To me, this speaks so much of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. He wants to break forth. He wants to pour out himself, his rays of heavenly light upon us. He wants to come into our reality. He's not distant out there. He hasn't just ascended and stays there. He bursts forth into our lives, into our hearts. How does he do that? How do we accept this wonderful gift that God is going to give us? So in the first reading we hear, Jesus told his disciples, he gave them instruction. He died, he rose again, and he appeared to his disciples for 40 days. He's giving them, you know, really important instruction. And what he said to them was, not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for what the Father has promised. The Father's going to give you something. I'm going to go away. Jesus is going, he's ascending up to heaven, but wait in Jerusalem for what God has promised. This is very important. This is some of the last instructions that our Lord and Savior, after he rose again, gave to his disciples, gives to us. He's saying, this is what I want you to do. You're going to receive what the Father has promised you. And that's something you absolutely need. Something that is vital for you to have as you go forward from here on mission as Christians. Something you need in your lives. He says, it is he, he said, what you have heard me speak about, John baptized with water, but you, not many days from now, will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on the disciples at Pentecost to baptize them in the Spirit. Not just the water baptism for the forgiveness of sins, but he released power as he immersed himself on them. Our Lord Jesus goes on to say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout Judea and Samaria, and indeed the ends of the earth. He told his disciples, this was the important instruction, wait in the upper room, wait in Jerusalem, because you're going to receive power from on high. The Holy Spirit's going to break into your reality, and then you will be my witnesses. Then you'll go out with lives changed, with the power from heaven impacting your reality to be the people you're called to be, just like Jesus. This is what the Lord wants to give us. This is what he wants to for us to accept and to allow to take over our lives. As Catholics, we know we're given so much in the sacraments. We just welcome to children, to the rite of welcome for baptism. And when someone is baptized, it's like they're given this gift on their soul. It creates a mark on their soul, an indelible mark, can never be taken away. And this gift is quite profound. When we're baptized, we're actually, I'll put it up on the board. Through baptism, we are freed from sin and reborn as sons and daughters of God. We become members of Christ, are incorporated into the church and made sharers in her mission. When we're baptized, we actually are given this profound gift that we're cleansed from sin, we're reborn into new life as children of God, we become connected to Christ as members of his body, and we become part of the church, and we are sharers in his mission in the world. God intends to give us new life, to free us from what brings us down, from our patterns of sin, and heal our broken relationships. He intends to make us have such loving relationships in the church and with each other, strong relationships with him that will never be taken away, because we're his sons and daughters. That's what he wants. That's what he wants from us. We've been given a rich inheritance. But at times, does it feel like it? Does it feel like we're always operating under this promise that we're living our lives as beloved sons and daughters connected to the Father and his church, that we have been given so much, we're freed from sin, we're freed from the way, we can live life to the full? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I feel a bit ordinary. Sometimes I don't feel like that vision is fully alive in me. But it's there. The gift has been given. It's in my soul. It's in our souls. What the Holy Spirit intends to do is to come with power from on high and release in us what we're given. By the Spirit of God who comes as He wills, He wants to pour forth and break into our reality. By the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, He wants to release what is inside of us, what's given to us. There's this wonderful priest, he's a Capuchin friar. His name's Father Raniero Cantalamessa, and he's been the papal preacher. What a role. He preaches to the popes. I think it's the last three popes. And he said this wonderful quote. Not that quote. That's from the Bible, sorry. He said, "The baptism of the Spirit reactivates baptism." So this Spirit coming upon us, what it does, it reactivates. It releases. It brings forth. That's what the Spirit coming upon us does. The Spirit will release what He's given us in the sacraments. He'll pour forth the gifts that He intends to give us. This vision in the gospel of what the disciples were called to do, it's not too much because God makes it possible. He gives the power to do that. You are created in the image and likeness of God. You are joint heirs as sons and daughters. You belong to God. He chose you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You have a rich inheritance. And we're not meant to keep that like buried treasure in our souls. Ask the Holy Spirit to release in you power. Ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you because He wants to give you life. The thief comes to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Holy Spirit's coming at Pentecost and He comes at any point in our lives to release life upon us, to make us live as we ought to make us become more like Christ, to release what we've got inside of us. The former ways of being we leave behind, and by the power of Spirit we grow. So how do we call upon the Spirit in our lives? How do we respond to this wonderful invitation, this wonderful present? Well, two words for this week. Expectant faith. This week, we're preparing for Pentecost. It's coming. And the two words I'd like to remember is expectant faith. We're disciples that know who our God is. God intends to give us gifts. He intends to clothe us with power from on high. He intends to give us life abundantly. That's who He is. That's what He wants to do. And so we know that. And therefore, we should turn to heaven and ask the Holy Spirit expectantly, because that's what He does, to pour forth upon us His power from on high, to break into our reality, to help us leave the old things behind and to walk forward into the new life with Him. That's what He asked us to do. And He told His disciples, He told them, to wait in the upper room, and that's what they did. They turned with expectant faith to Jerusalem. And when they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. And then it lists all the disciples who were there, Peter, John, James, and Mary, Mother of God. It's a long list, so I cut that out for you. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain... Oh, it just stops there. They were devoting themselves to prayer. That's the invitation for us this week. Are you willing to devote yourselves with expectant faith in prayer? Holy Spirit, come. I'll pray for you that you'll come upon me and my household like you did at Pentecost. That I open up to anything you want to give us, because I'm a disciple and I know who you are, and I believe that you'll do what you say you do and you'll provide what the Father promised, and I'll devote myself in prayer for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, Father Dan here. If this homily has been helpful, there are a few things I'd love for you to do. Firstly, subscribe to this podcast or share this episode with someone who might find it helpful. And consider also helping us to expand our mission and reach out to more people by donating at stbenedicts.com.au/donate, or you can click on the link in the podcast description. Thanks so much for joining us and have a blessed week.